All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's go ahead and we'll just read. I'll read verses 3 through 5 if you'll follow along. Again, we'll jump into this and just kind of quickly go through what we went through last week and then try to finish it up in our time. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And the emphasis that we're making here is that we do not war after the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. The battle that we are in is no question to me, it's a spiritual battle. Now, the old nature is involved in that battle. But it's not flesh that I'm pinching right now. It's that old nature that we have not been completely separated from, and we won't be until the Lord returns or until we die as Christians physically. We won't have to deal with that anymore. And so every day we carry that with us. No matter where we go, it comes with us. And the good news is that we have the ability with some of the things we talked about last week, and we'll talk more about them this week, that we have the ability in Christ to win this battle, this war. And this war is serious, because this war is not just about you, and it's not just about me. The devil is not trying to destroy you simply for you. You understand, if the devil destroys me, he destroys more than me. They're not lifting me up. I'm just saying that you could say that about you too. If the devil destroys a dad or a mom or any Christian, someone in the church, and I mean, I'm in the warfare that we're in, everyone falls. For a just man falleth 7 times and rises up again. So we're not saying that no one's going to suffer a defeat. But the key is that we recognize what it is that the devil is able to do. He's got a customized plan for each of us, and yet God has given us instructions here in the Word of God to overcome whatever the devil has. And let's pray as we get into this. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to open your Word once again. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that we would not listen to the preacher today, but we would listen to you and your Word. Your Holy Spirit would speak through me, Lord, that you'd hide me behind the cross, that I would not say anything that you would not want said, that there would be things mentioned that I don't even have written down or I'm not even thinking of right now. Holy Spirit of God, would you just move in our midst? Lord, we recognize that that it is serious, and whether we can see it or not, there's a battle going on even now, and a real battle. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that we would be diligent men and women about learning how to be involved in this spiritual warfare and overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And so we talked about it last week, verse 3 there. We do not war after the flesh, and we mentioned that we are not in a physical military battle. However, the war we are in is serious. The war we are in is dangerous. The war we are in is winnable, because Christ has won that war. Now, the thing about the enemy that we are facing and fighting is that he has a very accurate target, a very accurate aim, if you will. He knows exactly where to point his fiery darts. He knows exactly where to hit you and hit me to cause us to be discouraged, to cause us to be bitter, to cause us to be unforgiving, to cause us to be whatever he's aiming for. He knows exactly where to aim. And so we went into this, we said 3 things. Number 1, we said Jesus is our captain. In this battle, in this spiritual warfare that we're in, Jesus is our captain. He is our leader. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18, we mentioned that. The reason that Jesus is our leader is because we looked at Matthew chapter 28, where the Bible says that as they came to see Jesus in the tomb, they were told, hey, you're not going to find Jesus because he is not here. He is risen. And he conquered something. He conquered someone. And because of that, he's our leader. We follow him. I have decided to follow Jesus should be your song, right? No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. The world behind me, the cross before me. And we should be desirous of following him. He is our captain. He is our leader. Secondly, we talked about the fact that we have an army. We have an army. And the verses that we looked at there were Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 18. And it's a conversation between the Lord Jesus Christ and Peter. And he says the gates of hell will not prevail against it, that I will build my church. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for the church. And that's what we're referring to. We're referring to the army. We're referring to brothers and sisters in Christ. And so in this spiritual warfare, we are supposed to be praying for one another. Like the song says in the hymn book, like a mighty army moves the church of God. And we talked about how as believers, we need to be moving ahead. Amen? Marching ahead for the glory of the Lord. We don't want to be going back. It happens from time to time. We do. We do backslide, okay? Let's not lift our nose up and say we never backslide. We do. All of us do. But we need to recognize that quickly, and we need to get that dealt with. We need to repent of that, and we need to move forward. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. We're moving toward becoming more like our captain. You know what? As a believer, every day you should be more like Jesus than you were the day before. As a believer, as a Christian, I should be more like Christ now than I was when I got saved. That's obvious, isn't it? Spiritual growth ought to be natural. You realize that if our grandson's going to be 1 year old tomorrow. I can't believe it's been a whole year already. It's going to be 1 year old tomorrow. And I was with Carson last month. And let me just let you know, you've probably seen a picture, but let me just let you know. He doesn't look anything like he did when I held him in my arms when he was 3 days old. 3 days old, I could hold him in my arm, no problem. Now when I hold that one-year-old boy, I got to really get a hold of him. He's been growing. That's a good thing, right? It's a natural thing when someone grows. So as Christians, why would it be any different? It shouldn't be any different. We should be able to see ourselves in God's mirror and see, you know what, not everything do I like about my Christian life, but I'll tell you this, I want to move forward. I'm growing. I want to grow. And by the way, how do we grow? By grace. We grow in grace. We grow by grace. We're saved by grace. There's nothing in me. There's nothing in me that has the ability to grow. I can't just get up in the morning and say, I'm going to grow in Christ today. I'm going to grow in Christ today. If I say it 100 times, it's going to stick. No, if I'm going to grow in grace, if I'm going to grow in the Lord, it's going to be through his word. It's going to be by his grace. It's going to be through his spirit. So we have an army. As an army, there must be movement. And then we said number three, and we looked at Ephesians chapter number six. Go over to Ephesians chapter number six, please. Let's just look at this one. We said number three, we have an enemy. We have an enemy. Ephesians chapter number six. And verse 10. And I want to just read this verse, verse 10, and I want us to just pause, and I want us just to kind of think about this verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong. Now, here's a key prepositional phrase for all of you English people here. You just love English? That's a prepositional phrase right there. In the Lord. That's a key phrase, because that's the key to spiritual warfare, is that our strength is in the Lord, that our strength is not in ourselves, that our strength, we can be strong. It says that we would be strong in the Lord, and here's another prepositional phrase, in the power of his might. So as we consider our enemy, and we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to look at the gear that we've all been given, and many of you are well aware of it, but remember, we are saved only by Christ. We cannot be saved by works. But can I submit to you that we are going to win the battle in the Christian life only by Christ. It isn't that everything is about Christ for salvation, and then it's now in my court to be sanctified. No, I can't be sanctified. I can't be more like Christ in my strength. I can't be more like Christ in my might. I can't be more like Christ because I just have this desire to do it. That's part of it, yes. But I must rely on his strength. I must rely on his might. I must rely on his power. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, and here it is, this is our spiritual warfare, principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, and here's another one, in where? High places. You know what? We go about our day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We go about every day of the week. We go to church on the Lord's Day, and we go here and there on Monday through the week, work and time and meetings and home and maybe some activity in there and some recreation in there. And we go to bed at night, hopefully, and get some rest. And maybe every once in a while have to go see the doctor or whatever, go to the rec center and go swimming or lift weights or whatever. I mean, we've got our life. We've got this thing and this thing and that thing and this thing and that thing. But you know what? We only see what we can see. But going on around us all the time, there's another world that we cannot see. Every day. It doesn't matter. There's principalities, there's powers, there's rulers of darkness. I mean, we read about it in our Bible. And it's not just that the enemy of the devil just was alive and well and moving around and doing what he's doing in the Bible times. It's not just Matthew chapter 4 where he goes to the Lord Jesus Christ and tempts him three times. And Jesus said, it is written, three times, and he wins the battle. That's still happening today. That warfare, that battle is going on all around us all the time. And the enemy is trying to bring defeat into my life every day. The enemy wants to discourage us. The enemy wants to get a place, the Bible says, to not give what? Place to the devil. It's talking about, in that verse, it's talking about just a little section. Don't even give the devil a little crack of space in your heart, because he'd like to kick that wide open and ruin my life and ruin your life. Hey, he wants to ruin a day, a week, a month, a year. He's all about ruin and destruction. And it's happening now. But again, this is just letting you know this is happening. And many of us know this already. Spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil has helpers. The devil has helpers. We call those helpers. Last week we mentioned it, the world and the flesh. The devil is the god of this world. It said, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the eyes of them that believe not. I believe is how it's phrased. I may have missed a word or two in there, but that's who it's talking about, the god of this world. The devil is allowed to do whatever he's allowed to do by whatever God allows, yes, but he is the god of this world, small g. And so we have to be aware that the devil is going to use the world system. The devil is going to use my flesh, my old nature, against me to try to distract me. Yes, praise God, as a believer, when we're saved, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And that is secure. It's called what? Eternal life. It's called what? Everlasting life. Meaning we cannot lose it. The devil cannot have it. But what the devil wants is to ruin our testimony. The devil wants to ruin our influence. Boy, can he do that fast? He can. But let's turn to Romans 8. And let's see what we saw last week. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 37. And many of you know this one. If you don't know this one, I'd memorize it. Mark it. Put a note in your Bible. Turn to it. Have it ready. Have it ready every day of the week. Because you might want to use this against the devil. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things, you can read 36 and 35 if you want to know what these things are. But a lot of it is our things that we go through in our life as Christians. And by the way, just because we got saved doesn't mean that the devil says, well, okay, you know, Turner got saved, so leave him alone. No, it's far from the case. But it says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Again, how am I a conqueror? Who loves us? The Lord, God, Jesus, however, whatever word you want to use. The Holy. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. 1 John 4:8, God is love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So we are more than conquerors, not through ourselves, not through our army, the church. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. The fourth thing that I want to mention, and this is where we stopped last week, is this. We have weapons. We have weapons. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We started there. We're just going to read one verse there, and then we're going to move to Ephesians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4. Let's read the first three words together in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. It starts, I'll give you the first one. It starts with the word for, okay? Ready? Begin. For the weapons. Stop right there. For the weapons of our warfare. Weapons. They're not carnal. It's not a machine gun. It's not a tank. Okay? But God does have some things for us as we go out Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday to help us in this warfare. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 now. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to encourage you that in verse 11 that we read a few moments ago, the Bible says, Paul wrote to the church, put on the, what's the next word? Whole. Okay? Not just pieces and parts. Whenever I think of pieces and parts, I think of chicken McNuggets. I don't know why I think of that. I guess because McDonald's chicken McNuggets, if you learn about how they've constructed those things, it's pieces and parts. Anyway, you may not want to ever eat a chicken McNugget ever again. Do a little research on it. But anyway, put on the whole armor of God. Now you think about it. If I was standing up here right now with no shoes on, and I wasn't behind the pulpit, no shoes and no socks, would you know pretty quickly that I had no shoes and no socks on? Could you tell that pretty quickly? Okay. And, you know, I obviously could say that about my suit coat or my shirt, but, you know, trying to be a little bit mannerly about this thing. You know what I'm asking. You know what I'm getting at. It's very evident when someone is not in the normal attire. Now, if I'm running around outside in the backyard, I don't really necessarily have to have shoes on. I mean, my mom would have wanted me to have shoes on even in the backyard. You know, there's nothing wrong with running around bare feet sometimes. But not in spiritual warfare. You don't want to have one piece of the armor that God has for us missing. Let's look at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the, what's that word? Whole, there it is again. Two times in three verses, Paul says, whole armor. It's God's word, isn't it? Every word is inspired, right? Every word is there on purpose and with a purpose. You know, I look at that and I could think, in my human thinking, he could have just said, put on the armor. But God's word is way better than mine, and God wanted the word whole in there twice in three verses. I think for emphasis, yes, it's definitely for emphasis, but also because God knew that we would need every single piece of armor that he had provided for us. Because, yeah, I might have everything on, but I might be missing one piece. Remember what we said last week and today? The devil's aim is perfect. I go out the door tomorrow morning and I don't have on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know what the devil's going to aim at? He's going to aim at my feet. And he's not going to miss. He'll hit him. And there's a purpose for that piece of armor. Okay, so here we go. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Number one, our weapon is truth. First weapon is truth. Now, think about it. We can get all kinds of information. We can get all kinds of knowledge. We can get all kinds of research. We can do everything that we want and get all of this together, but there's nothing that should supersede. There's nothing that should be over in our Christian life. There's nothing that should take the place of truth. We know the Bible says in John 17:17, that it says God's word is truth. Truth, meaning no error. If a man is giving you a man's teaching, there's a possibility of error, correct? If a man is giving you even his knowledge, there's a possibility of error. But when we're giving God's word and when we're reading God's word, I don't mean interpreting God's word, because there can be problems there even. But when we're reading God's word, we can have truth, and it is infallible. It is without error. Without the belt, it was called the belt of truth that we would call it. Without the belt of truth, there was no place for the sword. So in again, remember, the Bible here written in Paul's day, people are reading this and also thinking about genuine military battle. So God is using an illustration of battle, physical battle, in this era for spiritual battle that would never stop. And here we are almost to 2020 and we're still battling spiritually. But it's the same message that the church at Ephesus needed. It's the same truths that the church at Anchor needs. It's the same message that the church of Ephesus needed to defeat the enemy. It's the same message that I need, Ben Turner needs, at 46 in 2019, almost 2020. It's the same thing. And it's available. Truth will never be suppressed. This book will never be suppressed. This book is alive. The devil wants to get rid of it, destroy it, and defeat it, do everything. He's no match for the Word of God, and we find that over and over again. So, truth. I want you to think about it. How much truth do we allow to flow through us? And then, how much error do we allow to flow through us? Think about it. Okay, we are surrounded by knowledge and information, but it doesn't mean it's truth. And it might even be news reports. I'm not saying there's nothing necessarily wrong about listening to a news report, but just because the news said it doesn't mean it actually happened that way. You know that, right? Just because it was tweeted and retweeted and put in the newspaper doesn't mean it's truth. Well, I read this in the paper, so it's got to be true. Not necessarily. What I'm saying is we are surrounded by, it doesn't mean that everything that you read is false. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is we need to make sure that as believers, we are surrounding ourselves over and over again and inundating ourselves with truth. The more truth, the better. So we have, number one, truth. Number two, having on the breastplate of righteousness in verse number 14. The breastplate of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Well, it's not mine, because the Bible says my righteousness is not a breastplate. You know what the Bible says my righteousness is? It's a filthy rag used to wipe up the pus from somebody with leprosy. That's my righteousness. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. I was talking to someone recently about spiritual warfare. And I was encouraging this individual and telling this individual that you can be a conqueror, as we said earlier, through him that loved us. You're not going to be a conqueror in your own righteousness in my own righteousness, we're going to be a conqueror through Christ. So this is a, if you want, and I've said this before, it's been a few years since I've gone through these, and I'm not going through them with near as much time as you could, but it's almost as if in the morning before we go about our day, again, I wouldn't walk out of the door without a shirt on. Real quick, I would be identified. Wouldn't take long. Something's wrong with him. He's got no shirt on. Why would I walk out of my home without the breastplate of righteousness? Why would I walk out of my home without putting on the whole armor of God? You know what, God? You know what, Lord? I'm going to be tempted today with some amazing sin. You know what I need? Right now, I want to put on the breastplate of righteousness. I want to do right today. God, I'm going to hear some things today. I want to make sure that I compare what I hear with truth. Look at Jeremiah chapter 23. I told you that already. Thank you for waiting. Jeremiah 23, verse 6. 23:6. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called. I don't know what it looks like in your Bible, but the next four words are in all caps in mine. Now you talk about, I know today when you text somebody or you email somebody and you use all caps, it means that you're what? Shouting! You're emphasizing, you know? And I had one person, I haven't heard from him in a while, a lady, but her, it's because of her eyesight. She used to message me. She goes to a good church in Michigan where I'm from, and she used to message me, and it was always in all caps. And she would send that to a few other people as well. Finally, one day, somebody in that little thing there just sent her back a note and said, why are you yelling at us? You know, because that's what it supposedly means, you know? And she said, it's not because I'm not doing that for that. I have poor eyesight. And so I like to use all caps so that I can see better. So if you like to use all caps and you're not really yelling at somebody, keep using all caps. It's okay. It's not against the rules. But you know what? When I read this in the Bible, I was thinking about 2019. All caps is emphasis. All caps is, hey, look at this. The Lord, our righteousness. Amen. The Lord, our righteousness. And as we go about our day, before we leave the house, thank you, God, that you've given us this robe of righteousness when we got saved. But thank you, God, that you've given us the opportunity every day to put on this breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protected the torso area. What do we have in the torso area? Okay, that's a what? That's a vital organ. We have many other ones in there too, right? But the heart, obviously. And so when you put that breastplate on, you're protecting some very important territory. I mean, yeah, we're looking at it in the sense of physical, but remember, God, Jesus here, the Holy Spirit is giving Paul the words to write, not just in a spiritual term, but learning something spiritually by thinking in a physical sense as well. It's very important that we have it. Quickly, let me just, as you go back to Ephesians chapter 6, I want to read a verse from Proverbs. My time is fleeting, so I'm going to read this quickly. Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs 11, verse 4, the Bible says, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. How many of us today, don't raise your hand, recognize how important riches are to the world today? Riches are everything. Okay? Hey, and again, it's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. You and I did not just come out from under a rock. We know what drives the world. It's riches. It's riches. Riches bring power. The Bible here says riches profit not in the day of wrath. But what does profit is righteousness. Righteousness delivereth from death. Now let's think about that. You and I were born what? We were born dead. We're born dead. And spiritually speaking, born dead. And so today, I'm alive. Why? Not because of my righteousness, but because of Jesus Christ's righteousness. Righteousness delivereth from death. The only way that you and I have any hope of heaven, and we do have it, but the only way we have that hope of heaven is because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming to this old world for 33 years, walking around, being tempted, never sinning one time, crucified, all the sin of mankind placed upon him, and then raising again from the dead, and his righteousness delivers me from death. So how about it? Why would I not want to put on that shield or that breastplate of righteousness in prayer? I know it's not a piece of thing, armor that we pick up, like I put my shirt and tie on today and my coat on today. But we can in our mind, we can say, I'm now taking the breastplate of righteousness. Because today I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. And I know that if it's up to me, I'm not going to choose right. You recognize that, right? None of us would choose right in our flesh. But through Christ, we can have victory. Righteousness delivereth from death. Look at the next one. Back in Ephesians 6, it says, in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Number 3 is the shoes of the gospel of peace. The shoes of the gospel of peace. And you could name them, you've probably heard them named other things. That's fine. It's not so big of a deal about how they're named. But what is the gospel? The gospel is good news, isn't it? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I think about shoes, I think about something that I put on. And normally for me, it's the last thing I put on. Right? Maybe that's not the order that you get ready to go, but if normally before I go out the door, except for when I'm wearing a suit, my coat is the last thing I put on. Okay? But for the most part, 6 days a week, 5 days a week or so, the last thing I put on are my shoes. And when I put on the shoes, it's basically telling something in our house because, you know, preferably my wife would not really rather me have me wear my shoes in the house. Fine, that's okay. It means when I put my shoes on, I'm ready to go. Right? I'm ready to go. Until I put my shoes on, I'm wearing my slippers. Okay? And if I have my slippers on right now, you'd notice that too. Because they would not go with what I'm, although they are brown, they might blend in today. Maybe you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. But I'm wearing my slippers. I like my slippers. They're very comfortable. But I'm not going to wear them out. They're not getting me ready to go out. But when I get my shoes on, it's saying something, getting me ready to go. You know, the gospel brings something to the world. The gospel brings something that the world is longing for today. The gospel brings it. Nothing else can bring it. Those riches cannot bring it. That power cannot bring it. A high position cannot bring it, which is power. A beautiful new home cannot bring it. A new car cannot bring it. Nothing can bring it, but the gospel can, and that's peace. Peace. Kim shared a testimony with us this morning about his sister getting saved on Friday. Praise the Lord for that. If you were praying for her, that's a big-time answer to prayer. With her mom passing and just some things going on in her life physically as well. God was using a lot in her life to bring her to a place of humility, just like he had to do for you and me. The only way we can get saved is to humbly accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so every day we need to have those shoes on. Why? Because we as God's representatives need to be peacemakers. How are we a peacemaker? With the gospel. Taking the gospel to the world, in many times, doesn't even want it. They want peace. They don't want the gospel. Because you see, Becoming a Christian isn't simply just saying, I want to go to heaven when I die. Becoming a Christian is saying, I'm now a follower of Jesus Christ. We know that, right? When you get saved, it's not just that I'm not going to hell now, praise the Lord, I'm not. But it's, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. I want to live for Christ now. I want to walk a different walk. So we have the breastplate of righteousness. We have the gospel of peace. We have the belt of truth. Then we have the shield of faith. See it there? And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What is faith? Faith is believing God. Faith is believing God. And above all, God, I'm going out today. I have no idea what's coming today. But I must have the shield of faith. Because something's going to happen possibly in your day. And if you left the shield of faith at home, it's going to be very hard to quench the dart of the wicked one. And remember his aim. His aim is perfect. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Shield of faith. And we could talk about faith all day long. Then we have the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Isaiah 59:17. I've got about 3 minutes and I want to use all 180 seconds. Go with me to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, verse 17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. There we see it again, the helmet of salvation. Again, we all know today that head injuries are very, very serious. Right? And again, I think that you could take this one a lot of different ways, but just for what the Lord has laid on my heart with is this, and I've kind of mentioned it already, that I'm not every day getting saved, by the way. I'm not every day saying, God, please save me before I go out. That's not what this is talking about. The way I look at this, and again, it could be, I don't think it's a false doctrine, so to speak, but it may be a different way than what you would look at it or others would look at it, and that's okay. But when I think of taking the helmet of salvation, I think about the fact that I, again, rest in him for my salvation. That I'm eternally secure in Christ. That I'm protecting as well. I'm protecting not only for my eternal salvation, but I'm protecting. When you protect your head, you're protecting your mind. You know what? The devil is destroying so many through the mind. Have you ever heard anybody say this? I have 1 minute. Have you ever heard anybody say this? What are you thinking? Or what were you thinking? I have to admit, sometimes when I've been told that, that really after I thought about it for a minute, here was the honest answer. I wasn't. That's just being very honest. To decide to do that, I wasn't thinking. Helmet of salvation. And anyway, I have more, but we're going to stop right there because time's up.